Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you for your love toward us. Thank you for helping us to become who you want us to be. We thank you for fighting our battles. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. We thank you for the entrance of your word into our hearts. We thank you for your knowledge in us that is changing us into a better person. Be glorified, be exalted in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the light you have sent into our spirits and souls to liberate us from every stronghold of darkness and from every deception and falsehood. Thank you for causing us to know the truth so that we can be free indeed. Be praised, Father, forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for how you have been pouring out your heart unto us through Bible study classes we have been having. We thank you for not allowing us to be in darkness. Thank you for showing us your ways. Thank you for showing us your principles and instructions. Thank you for setting us on the right path to follow, to be able to fulfill our destinies and callings. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to please you in all areas of life. We are so grateful, Lord. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I am asking that as we would be having another class tonight, let your Holy Spirit minister unto our hearts once again as we would continue with this topic, building a strong relationship with God. Father, show us more of what is required of us to do to know you better, to love you better, and to experience you better, to receive more from you, to encounter the fullness that is in you, Lord, through the teaching this evening and through more teachings. Show us everything we have to do to be more closer to you. Father, do it by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because we know you shall do beyond our requests. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome you once again to the Lord's presence. And we are going to continue from where we stopped. We have been looking at this topic, building a strong relationship with God. And we've already discussed a lot. We've discussed a lot under that topic. I began to speak on benefits of taking quiet time with God, and I mentioned that when we take quiet time with God, God heals and restores our souls. I've taught on that. And I also mentioned that it gives us joy. And that he gives us spiritual strength. Yeah, that was where we stopped during the last class. So I want us to look at another Bible verse in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Corinthians chapter 3 verse 16. Ephesians 3:16. It says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that he would grant you. So this is a prayer of Apostle Paul to the brethren in Ephesus. Yeah, to the church in Ephesus. So he was praying that God will grant them, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Yeah, so what does it mean to be strengthened with might by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, it means that the Spirit of God shares with your spirit the strength of God. You know that the Spirit of God has the fullness of God in himself. So when we spend time with God, when we take quiet time with God, which I said, quiet time means when it is you and God alone. Yeah, you're spending time with God on a very personal level. Yeah, and there is no distraction, just you and God alone. So which could be your praying, which could also be you are studying God's word, and it could also be in that quiet time or quiet moment, you are meditating on the word of God. So every time you do that, there is a kind of a strength transfer that happens. Just as Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 29 to 31, says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yeah, every time we fellowship with God personally, one on one, there's usually a strength transfer. So the Spirit of God will share with you the strength of God, because the Spirit of God has the fullness of God in himself. So there's a kind of I don't know the English I can use to describe it. There's a communion or a kind of connection, or deep connection, or a kind of intercourse, if I can use that word, a kind of rubbing of yourself, like God rub himself on you, you rub yourself on God. God flow through you, you flow through him. So there's a kind of I don't know the English that I can use, but if you know the English, fine. Like when something enters into you, and then you also go into that thing, and then you are kind of flowing into each other. God flows into you, you flow into God, he flows into you, and then it continues like that. Yeah, and during that kind of moment, that is when we say you are filled with the Spirit. Yeah, just as the Bible says that Jesus came out of the wilderness in the fullness of the Spirit, and from that moment he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and And he began to work miracles. God began to use him for mighty miracles, and his fame began to spread all across the region. Yeah, so it is as we fellowship with God that we get filled with him. Yeah, usually every Christian is spiritually inside of Christ. According to John chapter 15, where Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. So usually, as a Christian, you are in Christ. You are like inside of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is inside of you. Yeah, but during this communion fellowship, there is this practical engagement. Like God, just like maybe God sits down beside you, talking to you, ministering to you, showing you things in his word, or filling you with his joy, filling you with wisdom. Yeah, so when you spend time with God, he kind of magnify himself in your life. Yeah, that's why I said is a spiritual system of God flowing into you and you flowing into God. Yeah, I remember when I was traveling some time ago, and then along the way I began to worship God. I began to sing one worship song. Yeah, and as I was singing that song with the whole of my heart, it was as though my spirit was caught up into heaven. It was as though I was flying in the heavenly realms. Yeah, I became so very light. So I could feel like God is penetrating into the depths of me. And I also feel like myself is penetrating into the depths of God. And as that operation was going on, or as that encounter or experience was going on, I was feeling too much power of God, too much energy of God. So meaning that I was being strengthened in the midst of that worship. So every time we spend time with God, either through prayers, worship, praises, Bible study and meditation, there is this strength transfer that happens. So you get stronger. Yeah, you get stronger. Unlike when you are trying to do the work of God with your strength. Or maybe not even let me not go into doing the work of God. Unlike when you are doing other secular work with your human strength, you feel exhausted. Yeah, you feel exhausted. Maybe you are the type that do office work. Yeah, you can feel exhausted. But when you are spending time with God the right way, you can't feel exhausted. Yeah, you get strengthened. I wrote a post some time ago, or maybe I should say I wrote an article. And in the article I said the longer you pray, the stronger you become. The longer you pray, the stronger you become. Yeah. So except you are not doing that quiet time correctly, except you're not doing it with a heart full of love for God, a heart that wants to be with God, not a heart that is distracted, not a heart that is in a haste. So when you really approach God and you present yourself in God's presence, or you engage with God personally in your closet or in your room to fellowship with Him, when you really do that with the right heart, it is certain that you will be imparted with strength from the Lord. It is certain that you would keep getting stronger. So the longer you stay there, the stronger you become. Now that after you have spent some few hours, you get tired. It does not happen like that. If you do it well, there's a presence of God that will strengthen you. Yeah, the Bible told us about Jesus when he was doing 40 days fasting in the wilderness. The Bible told us that after he has been tempted of the devil, that angels came to strengthen him. Yeah, so every quiet time with God, I see it as a moment of receiving strength. Yeah, I see it as a moment of getting wiser, getting stronger, getting more delivered, getting more healed, or getting healing. So I see it as a moment when you receive from the Lord. Yeah, unlike when you're probably ministering to people. Yeah, you know, you are pouring out from what you have on the inside of you. Even though there's still a way to minister to people and not feel empty after you have ministered. But I'm not going into that. But my point is that every time you stay with God in your quiet time, you get stronger. So, and that is why you should take that quiet time very serious. Yeah, because there is no other place you will find strength. I'm talking of spiritual strength now. You can drink energy drink and it will strengthen your body. Yeah, but I'm not talking about energy drink that will give your body strength. I'm talking about spiritual strength. So if you want to be strong spiritually, then start spending time with God, because He will share His strength with you. Yeah, as the fellowship is going on, you know, the way God fellowship with us is deep. Is beyond. For instance, if let's say for instance the Lord decides to visit you in an encounter. Let's say you were praying, or you were meditating, or you were sleeping but not fully asleep, maybe in a trance vision, God decided to visit you in an encounter or with an encounter. Yeah, though you might see God maybe standing before you, but everything inside of you will be feeling His presence. So God doesn't fellowship with us on an external level. Though if you see a vision, it might look like God is speaking or is ministering to you from the outside. But that's not the mechanism, the spiritual mechanism by which it happens. Even though if God is speaking to you as though he's standing beside you or he's standing in front of you, he's still engaging your spirit in the process. For instance, somebody like me, if I am weak and then I began to communicate with God in my heart, yeah, let's say I began to talk with God in my heart, I talk to him, he speak back to me, I talk again, he speak back. By the time we continue talking like that, like me and him, by the time we continue talking like that for the next 40, 45 minutes, I will start getting stronger. I'll start getting strong. So that means I always want to talk to him, because I know every time I talk to him and I receive from him, I get better, I get wiser, I get stronger. So I'm always want to talk to him. Because I know my life does not always remain the same. So that is why people should crave for this quiet time with God. Because God will never leave you the same way you came, or the same way he came, he visited you. He won't leave you the same. You will always get stronger. You always get more joy, more happiness, more comfort, more faith, and all of that. So that is why we should let the Holy Spirit strengthen us with might in our inner man, which is our spiritual man. Yeah, and how are we going to do that? By taking time to fellowship with him personally, not corporate fellowship, personal fellowship. Not that you say, I went to church today, we had a very good moment, a very good time in God's presence in church today, and the power of God really moved. I was so blessed. Yeah, we spent like 2-3 hours, and I was so blessed. And then it ends there. So every time you fellowship with God, it's always in the church, it's always on the corporate level. That is not enough. In fact, that is dangerous. So I'm not talking about corporate fellowship. I'm not talking about corporate anointing. That is very good. But what about your personal fellowship with God? How strong is that? How strong is that? How much time do you spend with God personally? Yeah, that's the focus. So if you can begin to spend time with God personally, yeah, even if it is worship, praises, Bible study, meditation, and then hearing from him, speaking to him, prayer, and all of that, you begin to see that you'll be getting stronger in your spirit, and you'll be getting more victorious against the enemy. Yeah, because God will be imparting his strength into you as you spend time with him. So now in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, and also verse 11, let us look at that passage also. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Yeah, verse 9 says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." And verse 11 talked about strengthening with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Yeah, so Apostle Paul always mentioned about this strength, you know, this issue of the believers being strengthened inside of them. Yeah, which he mentioned the same here as well. Yeah, he said, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will, God's, you know, God's wisdom and spiritual understanding, and then that they will be strengthened with all might. Yeah, so let us desire spiritual strength. And if indeed we desire to be strong spiritually, then let us start spending time with God in our personal closet. So we are moving to another benefit. Another benefit, and that is it gives us rest. It gives us rest in the spirit. Yeah, when you take quiet time with God, it will give you rest in the spirit. It will give you rest. Just as I have said, I don't know if it were, maybe it were in the prayer session, or maybe it were the last, maybe some previous classes, Bible study classes we have had. Yeah, I mentioned that Matthew 11, verse 28, where Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. And also in Exodus chapter 33, verse 14, yeah, God said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. Yeah. And also in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, it says that the Lord has given rest unto his people. Now, you know that the Spirit of God is likened to a river. And how do we know that? The nature of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the operations of the Holy Spirit is likened to a river and not to a sea or an ocean. And how do we know that? Jesus was speaking in the scriptures and he said, he that believeth on me, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. And the writer of that passage said that he was speaking of the Holy Spirit that is yet to come upon them. So when believers began to speak with other tongues, spiritually, it means that rivers are flowing out of you. So every time you speak with unknown tongues, you are connected to a spring or to a source, a source that is a river, and from that source you are now producing rivers out, you know, rivers out of your mouth. Yeah, every time you're speaking in tongues, it's like you're connected to a big river source. And out of that very big river are now some rivers flowing out, or some channels of waters flowing out. So that is what Jesus meant when he said, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water, which implies that every time you spend time with God, you have this rest and peace imparted into you, just like river is always at peace. Yeah. mind is always at peace. It's only sea, it's only a sea or an ocean that might not be at peace. So that nature of the Holy Spirit that is always peaceful is being will be imparted into you when you spend time with God, and more so when you speak with other tongues, when you speak in tongues, or when you pray in the Spirit. There's this peace that will overflow your soul. There is this rest. You feel like you are in a state of rest and peace. Yeah, that's how you feel. Was this man of God? They called his name Smith Wigglesworth. He is dead now. Yeah, he did a lot of exploits for God's kingdom. And this man, okay, busy preaching every day. You know, nowadays preaching is easy. Like I'm somewhere in Nigeria now, and I'm speaking, and many of you in your countries, you are hearing me. Yeah, but in those days, it's not like that. Some of them have to travel miles to meet brethren they would preach or teach the word of God to. So but this man usually spend hours preaching in many places in a day. And the people around him noticed that he hardly take time to rest. Yeah, they noticed that he hardly rest. But he would be so busy preaching, talking, praying for people, yeah, ministering to people, but he hardly sleep, he hardly rest. So they came and asked him, they said, man of God, you hardly rest, how are you coping? He just smiled, and then he said, every time I begin to pray in the Spirit, he said, that's how I rest. He said, I rest by praying in tongues, by praying in the Spirit. So he said, every time he prays in the Spirit, he just gets that rest supernatural. He becomes so relaxed, so refreshed, so revitalized, as though he has slept like 8-9 hours. But he gained his rest by praying in the Spirit. Now, I'm trying to say that some of you should not rest and sleep. That's all I'm trying to say. But I'm trying to tell you that there are great possibilities in the Holy Spirit if you are willing to explore who is living inside you. If you are willing to know the personality of the Holy Spirit that is inside of you, if you are willing to know him, if you are really ready to know him, if you are ready to walk with him, to spend time with him, then he can take you into some depths of himself where you might not even sleep, and then you feel like you have slept, you feel so rested. Yeah, so that is what happens when we spend time with God. It gives us rest, and we just feel so relaxed, you just feel so refreshed, yeah. And you just feel so light, your body feels so light, and you are just happy with your life. I pray for you that the realm of absolute rest and peace in God, may you be translated into that realm in Jesus' name. Yeah, another benefit is that, which is our point here. Another benefit is that when we take time to love him, he loves us. Yeah, when we take time to show how much we love him, he will also show us how much he loves us. That's another way of saying it. So when we take time to show how much we love him, he will also take time to show how much he loves you. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17, it says, I love them that love me. Yeah, that is wisdom. And wisdom is the Lord. Yeah, of the name of the Lord is wisdom. So in that passage in Proverbs chapter 8 is saying, I love them that love me. And also in John chapter 14, verse 21 and verse 23, you see where it says that he that loved me, that is he that loves the Lord, he that loves Jesus, shall be loved by God the Father. He said, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Shall be loved of my Father. So if you want to enjoy the love of God, then love him. Now, I think I've said it before, there are two dimensions of God's love. There's this unconditional love of God. And then there is this other love of God that you have to hand it. There is this love of God that you don't need to hand it. Yeah. For instance, the love that brings all men unto salvation. The Bible says that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while we're yet enemies of God, God was showing us love. And even until now, God still loves the world. And he wants everyone to come to repentance and to be saved. So that kind of love is unconditional love. Yeah, you don't have to do anything to have that love. That love is there, and that love wants you healed. It wants you saved. It wants you delivered. It wants you redeemed, restored. Yeah, that one is unconditional love. But there is this other love that you have to earn it. And that is the one we're talking about here. You know, where God said, I love them that love me. And then in John chapter 16, verse 27, it says, the Father loveth you because ye have loved me. Yeah, so if you really want to enjoy special love from God, you have to love him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. You have to love him without any reservation. You have to love him with everything that you are and everything that you have. So if you can do this, you will enjoy his love. He will show you that he cares for you. Now, I don't know the exact day, maybe 2 days, maybe 3 or 4 days ago, that the Lord was telling me, said, I'm going to show you. He was telling me that, he said, I'm going to show you how much I care for you. Now, so, but I was like, I felt like he has been caring for me. I felt like he has been doing that, but I know it means more than that. So maybe he wants to start doing something that, you know, that I've not seen him do before in my life. I don't know. So, but he was telling me, like, I'm about to show you how much I care for you. So, and for God to say that, it means he's pleased with my life. It means he's so overwhelmed by what I have done in his kingdom, what I'm doing in his kingdom. So it means I have done some things that touched him. Yeah. So the same way God spoke about Daniel, the angel of the Lord that came to Daniel said, he said, you are beloved of God. He said, you are highly beloved of God. And that is why I have come to show you this, to interpret this to you. Yeah. So, and God even spoke the same way about about Abraham. God said, I know Abraham. He will teach his household my word, my precepts, my statutes, my ways. So I cannot just pass through this land and not visit Abraham. That was when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He couldn't do that without first telling Abraham. He couldn't do that without first visiting his place. Yeah, so that shows you that there are some people that God loves specially. God loves everyone. But there are some people that he loved them specially because they love him. Yeah, because they love him. So spending time with God is one of the ways to show that you care for him, to show that you love him. Yeah. Yeah, when you give him attention, then you show that you love him. And not only that, you can give him attention, you allow him to lead all areas of your life. Depend on him and you obey his instructions. Yeah, so this is what happens when you show God how much you love him. Then he comes to show you, he comes to lavish his own love on you. And believe me, when God begins to lavish his love on you, you will be scared. Yeah, you'll be scared because there is so much you will do in your life. You'll be like, God, is this not too much? And then God will tell you, I've just started. Yeah. Why? Because he loves you so much. Imagine someone who owns the heavens and the earth. He owns everything in heaven. He owns everything on earth. He owns everything under the earth. And then this person is now in love with you and say, I'm going to pour out my love on you. Then that means you are the most, most favored among men. If God decides to come to you to begin to show you his love. And the Bible already told us how you can have God's love, you know, in this level. That's you, you know, by you loving him. By you loving him. So how do you show your love for him? Yeah, because if I begin to ask some of you one by one, that do you love God? I'm sure many of you will say, yes, Apostle, we love God so much. Or I love God so much. But you have to show him. You have to show that you love God so much. So how do you show that you love God so much? Let us ask Stephen in the Bible. This man defended the gospel to the point that they picked up stones and began to stone him. They began to stone him. He knelt down and they were stoning him with big stones. And while they were stoning him and he was going to die, this man was still praying for the people that were stoning him. He said, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And then the Bible says that he gave up his spirit. He died. So this, how do you show how much you love God? Let us ask Apostle Paul. Let us ask Peter. Let us ask some of these apostles in the Bible. Let us ask them how they demonstrated their love for God. You see how many women were publicly humiliated. They were beaten. They were, you know, they suffered shame because of the gospel. So these men, they lay down all their lives for God. They don't think about themselves anymore, and they don't care. They are ready to be killed. They are ready to be slaughtered, and they don't care about their lives. They are ready to be killed for the sake of their love for God. So how do you show that you love God? Let us ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, these men in the land of Babylon, they were told to bow down to another god. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, said, if you don't bow down this image, I'm going to make sure that you are thrown in this on flames of fire. And I'm going to make sure that you are roasted alive. And this man said, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we are careful to respond to you on this matter. He said, oh, King, we will not bow to your graven image. We will not bow to this statue. We know that our God is able to deliver us from your fire, from your burning furnace. But even if our God will deliver us, we still will bow to the image you have set up. And the king was so furious, he carried them, threw them to the fire. So then I showed publicly that they love God. So if you say you love God, have you really demonstrated it? Yeah, have you demonstrated that you love God by hating sin, by publicly identifying with the truth? Have you done that? By publicly showing the world that you hate sin. Have you done that? Yeah, by publicly preaching the gospel everywhere you go. Have you done that? By laying down your resources, your money, your riches, your wealth, giving more than 80% of your wealth to promote the work of God on earth, to make sure that the work of God prospers and succeeded. Have you done that? Yeah. So by loving your enemies, yeah, that's another point. Jesus prayed for the same people that nailed him to the cross. He said, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Yeah. By praying for your enemies, have you done that? By loving your enemy, have you done that? So these are the ways you show publicly that you love God. By laying down your life for the work of God, you know, by going out of your comfort zone, going out of your conveniency to make sure that people get to know about Christ, to make sure that the gospel is preached, to make sure that you stand in the gap for people, you pray for them, you know, so that they can be helped, they can be delivered. Have you done that? So if you have not really shown how much you love him, he also will not show you how much he loves you, even though he loves you, but you have to hand this kind of love. Yeah, you have to hand it. So my prayer for you is that you would be strengthened in your heart, and that you will be encouraged, and that you'll be bold to publicly demonstrate that you love God so much. I pray that the Lord will help you to publicly begin to demonstrate before your children, before your wife, before your husband, before your grandchildren, before your friends, before everyone in your family, before everyone in your community. May the Lord help you to publicly demonstrate how much you love God before their eyes in Jesus' name. So because as you demonstrate that you love him, then he will now begin to show you how much he loves you. Because that is when you hand his love. Amen. Yeah, may the Lord help you. Now, let's look at another benefit of spending time with God, of taking quiet time with God, of spending hours in God's presence. Another benefit is, I'm going to read through some scriptures. Yeah. And we can see, I mean, we will see those benefits in those scripture verses. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 16, yeah, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, Deuteronomy 30, verse 16. It says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. So when we love God, the first thing is we will live. Yeah. And then we will prosper. And then God will bless us and he will establish us in the land where we are living. Yeah, it doesn't matter the kind of country you have. Yeah, I mean the kind of country you are living. It doesn't matter the economy of that country. It doesn't matter the kind of government ruling that country. If there are people in that country, which I believe you'll be part of those people. If there are people in that country that love God and that obey his commandments, the Bible says that those people, they will live, meaning that they will not die untimely. If you obey the word of God because you love him, if you obey his commandments, you will live. That's what the scripture says. Even if anything wants to kill you, the Lord will defend you and he will preserve your life. And not only that you will live, you will multiply, meaning that you will prosper. You will increase in wealth. Yeah, God will bless you with surplus. That's what it means. Yeah, and God will establish you in that land. So these are benefits of loving God, yeah, which includes obeying his words. Yeah, these are benefits of loving God. Also in Psalm 91 verse, yeah, you know, let me quickly clarify this. You know, we started from benefits of taking quiet time with God. Yeah, so I think that one has finished. So now we are looking at other benefits of loving God. Yeah, so that's where we are now. Yeah, benefits of loving God, which I have read from Deuteronomy 30 verse 16. So now I'm going to read from Psalm 91 verse 14. Psalm 91 verse 14. It says, because he had set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. Yeah, God is saying that because you have set your love upon him, he will deliver you and he will set you on high. Yeah, he will set you on high. So when you love God, he will deliver you and then he will set you on high. So meaning that you will excel in whatever you do. Yeah, you will excel. You will be the best, just like Daniel and his friends. The Bible says that after careful observation or careful assessment of Daniel's intelligence and his friends, God said they found them 10 times better than their colleagues. So when we really love God, we will do well in all areas of our lives, in our calling, in our marriage, in our career, in our ministries. Yeah, we will do well. You will do well, meaning that you will prosper, you will excel naturally. That's the truth. That is why I believe in teaching people to really be in good terms with God than, you know, giving prophecies and prophecies, you know, like, you know, all this common trend in some churches where if the man of God have not given personal prophecy, if they don't call, you know, don't call people out, I begin to tell them, I see this, I see that. And then the people are saying, man of God, prophesy. And then the man of God is saying, I see this, I see that. So the, if that has not happened in some church meetings, they feel like, you know, church has not happened that day. They feel like there has not been a church service that day if there is no personal prophecies. But I don't believe in that. Because if people are taught the word of God in the way whereby they begin to live holy and righteous, they will not need prophecies to prosper. You will not need prophecy to succeed, to excel. You will just begin to excel naturally. I'm telling you the Bible. I'm telling you the word of God. I'm not just telling you my own philosophy or ideas or opinion. I'm telling you what the Bible teaches and what is real. People that have followed the Bible and people that have obeyed God with their lives, they have been known to be men of great prosperity, men of great riches and wealth, men that followed the standard of the Bible, men that love God with the whole of their heart. They love God sacrificially, selflessly. These men have been known to be men of excellence, men of success, men of prosperity, men of greatness, men of global influence. Yeah, because they love God and they obey God. So you don't need all these periodic prophesying. I see this about you, I see that. And those people you are telling that you see this, you see that, they are living in sin. How do you want everything you are seeing to come to pass? If people don't live a life of Christ, if they don't live for God, they don't live holy in the sight of God, all our prophesying will fail. Many of the prophecies will not come to pass in their lives. So let us be wise and let us love God and please Him. May the Lord help you in Jesus' name. Now, if you look at Psalm 119 verse 132. Another benefit of loving God. Psalm 119 verse 132. Yeah, it says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. It says, look thou upon me and be merciful unto me, as thou usest to do unto those that love thy name. So this scripture is emphasizing the fact that God always, or God is always merciful to those that love his name, which is also the same with those that love him. Yeah, God always visits them. God always care about them or care for them. And God is always merciful unto them. So this is scripture and this is the truth. This is not my words. This is the Bible. This is the truth. This is the word of God. Yeah. And the word of God is the final authority. Yeah. And that is why even the Bible says that Jesus is the word. Yeah, that Jesus is the Word. In John chapter 1, yeah, I'm not trying to say Jesus is the Bible. Yeah, but Jesus is that spirit of that spirit by which God speaks everything is said in the Bible. So everything God has said, the truth God has revealed in the Word of God, they are spirits. It's more than a letter, is a spirit, and Jesus is that spirit. Jesus is the Word. So if we believe the truth, we will excel. We will receive God's mercy. So this is not about my life is not making progress because that man of God is not anointed enough. Yeah, the prayers are not working because the man of God does not carry enough anointing to solve my problems. It's a lie. The prayers are working. Yeah, the question is you. How is your relationship with God? Yeah, when your relationship with God is not okay, even the prayers of men of God will not work for you. The anointing of men of God will not work for you because your relationship with God is faulty. So how is your love for God? Yeah, before you start thinking thinking a church or a ministry is not helping you, before you start thinking about the anointing upon a man of God is not helping you, have you considered your own relationship with God? Have you considered how you are living your life, how you are using your body? When the Bible says your body is the temple of God, how are you using the body God has given to you? What are you doing with that body? What are you doing to that body? How are you living your life? So have you considered that? Yeah. So we need to be wise. Now let me just rush through other verses. In Psalm 145 verse 20, it says, "The Lord preserveth all them that love Him." So when you love God, God will preserve your life. He will preserve you from being hurt by the enemy. He will preserve you from being, from destruction. He will preserve you going out and coming in because you love Him. Yes. Also in Proverbs 8 verse 21 says, I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Yeah, in 1 Corinthians 8 verse 3, it says, if any man love God, the same is known of him. If you love God, he knows you. Or maybe I should say, if you love God, God begins to have special interest in you. Let them put it that way. If you love God, God will even tell people about you. He will recommend you to people. Yeah, there are people that there are people that God told them the names of some of His children. And then he said, this person is my son. This person is my daughter. I want you to help this person. Yeah, God visited them and he gave them the name of some of His children. I mean, He gave them the name, the address, and said, this is my son, go and help him. This is my daughter, go and help him. Yeah. So why you love God? God would do many things to show you that he is aware of your love, that he is how I put it now, that he is pleased. Yeah, I think that's the word. He God do many things to show you that he is pleased by your love. Yeah, though sometimes he might not show you directly, yeah, but he will do certain things in your life to really show you that he loves you. And some of them is when he began to, when he begins to deal with people because of you. People that are looking for your downfall, God begins to deal with them to show that he loves you so much. And another one is when I have said, God, you know, begin to mention your name to certain people that he has chosen to use to help you. He begins to mention your name to them and even tell them your address. Sometimes you even give them your phone number to contact you and help you, to show you that if you love God, God knows those that love him. So there's no playing of games in the kingdom of God. You can't play games with God. God knows the people that love him. Yeah. And he knows the people that don't love him. He knows the people that fear him. And he knows the people that don't fear him. And he knows how to reward those people. Yeah. So you can't play game in the kingdom of God, because God is looking at your heart just like he's looking at a mirror, or he's looking at a TV. So God searches the depths of people's hearts. So he knows who you are. So that is why you need to be sincere with yourself and stop thinking that you can play games with God. This is impossible. Yeah, you can't. Because he's the one that created even the same brain or heart you are using to think. So you can't hide from him. Yeah. So if a man love God, the same is known of him. Yeah, let me quickly go through two more scripture verses, then we will round up the teaching. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 24, it says, grace with all them that know our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Grace be with all them that know our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. If you say you know God, is he real? Is it real that you love God? Are you sincere about it? Or you're just trying to show it? You're just trying to do service. You're just trying to show it so that men can see. Yeah. But you're not doing it because you mean it. So to be sincere is to do things, to say things, and you mean it. When you love God, then you are able to prove it. That is sincerity. Yeah, everything you are doing is real. Not that you are doing it with another motive that is against love. Yeah. So watch what you do before God and what you do in the kingdom of God. Yeah. So the last one is James chapter 1 verse 2. The grand line is which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So you also take the crown of life when you have. Yeah, so these are benefits. Benefits of loving God. So we're going to stop here. During our next class, we'll be looking in Romans 6. So our relationship with God. Yeah, we'll be looking at that during our next class. So I'm going to stop here. And if you have questions, you can put on our platform and I will respond. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your faithful God. Thank you, Lord, for these teachings. Thank you for showing us how much we need to do to get closer to you. Thank you for showing us that it is possible to know you very closely. Thank you, Father. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I'm asking that the grace to begin to do things that you have been waiting for, things that please you, things that will attract you into our lives. The grace to be able to do things that you love to see us do. The grace to live our lives the way you have been wanting us to live our lives. Oh God, grant us grace in the name of Jesus. I pray for every one of you who have listened to this teaching. I pray for you that you will not fail anymore in your walk with God. The hand of God shall sustain you. The hand of God shall strengthen you. The hand of God shall uphold you and help you. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every spirit causing you to rise and fall spiritually. I rebuke spirit. Come out now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You will no longer rise and fall in your walk with God. You will no longer be weak today, strong tomorrow. You will no longer be cold today, hot tomorrow. Hot today, cold tomorrow. That will no longer happen to you anymore. Thank you for that because we have answered. In Jesus' name, it is done. Amen. Yeah, I'm going to stop here. Remain.